A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Glory Hunters podcast. On this week's podcast, we've got...
What's up? Nathan Caton.
James Brown.
Andrew Ryan.
Natalie Sawyer.
Very good. You introduced yourselves very beautifully. James sounded a bit grumpy, but don't read anything into that. It's a huge grudge match this week, of course. Leeds United versus Manchester United. I think it's the biggest fixture we've had on Glory Hunters. Here it is. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker, and welcome to Glory Hunters here on TalkSport, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Our guests represent the team they've always supported in a contest where the winners progress to the next round and the losers do the walk of shame. But just who will be able to look at themselves in the mirror tomorrow morning? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Now, on today's show is team captain Nathan Caton joining us again, and he's joined by journalist, author and Leeds United fan playing for Leeds United. It's James Brown. Hello, gentlemen.
All right, guys.
Leeds United, James.
Yes.
Your one true love?
Well, it's football, obviously, yeah.
All right, yeah.
Not in life.
No?
No.
What would you rank above Leeds United in your life?
Oh, come on, you can't even be asking me that.
Why not?
She might be listening. When I don't say her name, then she gets annoyed.
OK, you don't want to say that. Who's your favourite all-time Leeds United player?
Alan Clark.
Describe Alan Clark to me.
He was the man Berbatov wanted to be. He was one of Alex Ferguson's favourite strikers. Yeah, he was a brilliant player.
You don't want to tell me more about him than that?
Anybody over 45 will know Alan Clark.
What about people who aren't over 45?
Okay, David Batty then.
All right.
For a more modern player, David Batty.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, lovely player. Beautiful. Yeah. You can listen to Ruud Gullit, Howard Wilkinson, Bobby Robson. Yeah. Anybody who managed him. Well, Kenny Dalglish. He was the sort of player that allowed the flair players to have the ball, get it and pass it. Tony DiRigo played for England, told me that when the opposition kicked off, they at least didn't care about having the ball because they knew that the moment they would come into the Leeds half backs, they'd just go and take it off and give it to them. Give it to Gary McAllister or Strachan or whatever.
Every team needs a David Batty.
Anybody who watched Newcastle or Blackburn or Leeds week in, week out when he was playing knows what a brilliant player he was. And just because he wasn't scoring millions of goals or doing overhead kicks or looking fantastic, didn't mean to say it wasn't the most important person at that team.
That conversation went from 0 to 100 real
quick. It was a great answer.
It started off slow, but by the end I was like, I love this, man.
if he hasn't said that, nobody under 25 knows who he is.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Nathan, you know who David Batty is, don't you?
I'm not under 25, though.
Oh, well, there we are.
But thank you for implying that.
Now, you're a Brentford fan, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't have quite enough Brentford content on this quiz.
Oh, no. Gosh, maybe
next time. Only every week for about 20 minutes. But how do you feel about representing Leeds today?
I will forget about the league table and I will... We're cool, James. Safe, man. We're good. I'm Leeds today.
Good. And how's Brentford season going?
It's going typically Brentford. You want to have more Brentford chat? We can have it.
Just a little bit of Brentford chat.
It's starting off slow, but it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Invariably, Leeds start off great and end badly. So, exactly. You know, it all fits.
Fits in the end. Now, since you were on the show last, James, I believe you have changed one of your behaviours because of Natalie Sawyer. Not just Natalie Sawyer, because of Brian Sawyer, who we know is now a regular person on this quiz now, is Natalie's dad, Brian Sawyer.
Yeah. Does Brian listen to this?
He does.
Okay, yes. Well, Brian, if you are listening, I've now adopted the alert ringtone for when my girlfriend rings me, as is the case with your wife, Natalie's mum.
That's it.
And that's how it works.
It's a proper when my mum rings my dad. Yeah.
And look, James has taken that on board.
Yeah. So you didn't want to say her name, but she now knows that you have
She's got her own ringtone.
Yeah, a specific, maybe negative, some might say, ringtone.
She won't be listening to this. She doesn't know what I do in the day.
Okay, that's good.
That's so sinister.
Hence the ringtone. Our other team today is, of course, Natalie Sawyer, weekly team captain. Here every week. Do we still ask you to come in, or do you just turn up?
Just turn up.
Hope there's a gap. And wonderful comedian. What's your name? Very lovely, Andrew Ryan. Natalie, how do you feel about James taking on your dad's...
I like to think my dad's a leader.
So a leader I'm amongst
happy.
Men.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that you have followed his wise path.
Now, it says here
you should explain to your dad that when it goes, the alert on my phone, it's not your mum calling me.
No, just, absolutely. So that's good to just...
You know. I think we'll draw the line there on that conversation. Andrew, hello.
Hi, Charlie.
Welcome,
hello, everyone.
Welcome to Glory Hunters.
It's my first time here, and so far, I'm not sure if I'm going to come back.
Oh, really? Not enjoyed it,
because I don't know why there's ringtones about someone's parents involved. I thought it was a sports show. No, it's a bit like, who's contacting whose parents? You know what I mean?
Do you have a ringtone, Andrew?
I don't. My phone broke 3 weeks ago, so my sister had to lend me one. So it's just a generic, normal Samsung ringtone. Other phones are available.
It's all right. It's not the BBC.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can say what you like. Say some others. Say some other brand names. Do what you like.
Nokia 3210.
3310, mate. Get it right.
How did you break your phone?
What happened was, it was one of those classics where, you know, when you I had my 2 years was up, rang up and they were like, oh, you're on SIM only. I'm like, brilliant, phone bill cut in half. And then all of a sudden the phone just slowly starts to slow down, because you think down that, like, they're in their factory somewhere going, he didn't renew, time to punish him. You know what I mean? And they, like, turn the phone off.
Now, you're a Man United fan. That's a bit like when Fergie left, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we haven't turned that phone back on since.
Exactly. Just slowly gone down and down and down.
Well, you know what? This is the most amazing thing about it is that Man United have gone down in the last 6 years and we're still finishing fifth and sixth. With other teams like Leeds, you go to League One. We go to fifth and sixth in the league. So, you know, let's just have a bit of perspective on what failure actually is.
Okay. Before we carry on.
Where are you
hang
now?
Hang on a minute, James.
Where are you now?
Oh, we're fourth.
It's all kicking off, mate.
In a different division.
You can only be as good as the division you're in.
In a different division.
The quiz hasn't started yet.
Hang.
Andrew, you're a brilliant, brilliant comedian. Let's just hear a little bit of you. In the day job.
There's a few things that happens when you get a bit older that you know you're getting a bit old. For example, you know you're getting old when you come in from a night out at 1 o'clock in the morning and you take the mince out of the freezer for the following night's dinner. Oh, we've got a few mince takers out here tonight. Are you coming to bed? No, I've got spag Baltimore, honestly. Because that's what it's like when you get to your 30s, you know, like it's all about planning for tomorrow, you know? When you're in your 20s, you're going out after work, you can turn up for work, you know, with a traffic cone on your head, kebab down the front. You're like, I was Dangerous Dave out last night. When you get to your 30s, people are like, would you like to go for a drink? You're like, oh God, no, I've got a busy day next week. I need to stay in and prepare for that.
Everyone was laughing there, Andrew, weren't they? It's like you're really good at your job.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a gig hungover?
I could say every month bar the last month. Yeah. I've done gigs drunk, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Edinburgh Festival, you know, you're going on at 1 o'clock in the morning, there's like 200-300 people in front of you, and you're like going, hey, it's only 5 gin and tonics I've had. I mean, I'll remember all the words. And then you go out and you're like, oh no.
You know what I mean? It doesn't work, does it?
It does not work at all. The timing's gone. Your awareness is gone. Next thing you're saying stuff to you, like, if this was recorded, I would be, you know, if I was famous enough. That's it. I'm like, you know, like I'm in the news, you know.
Natalie, ever done your day job hungover? Any of the million jobs you've got?
Yeah, exactly. I probably have, yes. Yeah. But actually, there was one time I remember getting in at, I went to bed at 6 o'clock, my alarm went off at 6:30. Probably the best day's work I've ever had. I really do think
really?
It was. Yeah, the adrenaline and everything got me through.
James, have you ever done a job sober?
Yes.
Yes, you have, yeah.
There was one day in 1995.
So, the scene is set for Manchester United v Leeds. To see you kick off, let's listen to this clip of Roy Keane talking about his time as Sunderland manager, trying to entice players to the club.
Trying to get players up to Sunderland always difficult. Their wives didn't want to go up there because they want to go shopping. Eventually get Matty Taylor up. He was leaving, I think, Portsmouth, and he had an opportunity, I think, to go to Sunderland or Bolton. So I met him at the stadium, up at the boardroom, gave him all the talk, about an hour or two. He said, I've got a lot to think about, it's a big decision. I said, of course, you take your time, huge decision. I'll walk you down to the car park. As we walked down, he says, listen, Roy, huge decision. Thanks for the chat. I said, yeah, you take your time. Big decision. I understand for your family, no problem. Sunderland to Bolton is no comparison, but listen, Bolton were not a bad team at the time. I see him walking to his car. I said, listen, brilliant. Thanks for coming up. He turned his back. I got a text. Text? There's not many people text me. So I says, hi, Roy, it's Maddie Taylor. It's all right. I've got my phone. I think it was a BlackBerry at the time they were in, and I went, I can see him getting his car. I've decided to go to Bolton. I'm waving, I'm going out the car park.
Roy Keane there. Now, I'm not trying to put you all in the same basket, Andrew, but you have a similar accent. Oh, yeah. You have a similar...
Well, we're from the same place.
From exactly the same place.
Yeah. From Cork.
Yeah. All right, he's my hero.
Is it, yeah, if you lowered your tone a little bit, you could get the job, you could get the gig.
Roy Keane impersonator.
Yes.
Be a bit like, how would he go now? Like, seriously though, I want to get to the final. I want to make it to the final. Yeah, I don't know if that's, well, he's from the north side of Cork, I'm from the south side.
Yeah, you could tell that just then.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. You were telling me the north
from
side.
Cork. He's from the north side.
You can tell the difference, you see, very specific.
Well, yeah, he's great. He's an absolute treasure in Ireland. We all love him.
And Cork City FC, they're pretty huge in the
There's two
Irish
clubs
league.
In Cork, actually. There's Cork City,
yeah.
And there's also Cove Ramblers. Cove Ramblers are my team.
Ah.
So we are, how would you say, if you were from Manchester United, you know, Man United in the 90s and Man City would be in League One, you know, we're a division below them. But
like Leeds United?
Yeah, like Leeds United.
Okay, yeah.
But we're equally as good because, you know, we're top of the league. So it's a different division.
Right, there we are. Let's get to the question. And this is to see who goes first in the game, in the quiz today. Right. So here we go. Here's the question. Andrew and Natalie, I'm going to ask you first. After rejecting an offer from Sunderland, as we just heard, how many goals did Matty Taylor end up scoring for Bolton? And we'll go nearest the pin on this. Ooh. Andrew? And Natalie, after rejecting an offer from Sunderland, how many goals did Matty Taylor end up scoring for Bolton?
There's no multiple choice.
No multiple choice.
Okay, nearest right, the pin. Think about this. I mean, he did score some crackers, didn't he, Matty Taylor?
He's retired now, isn't he?
Yeah, I would say.
But Bolton were going down at this stage, so I can't see him scoring that many.
Oh, I don't know.
I would say you're going to look at about no more than, I'd say less than 50.
Less, yeah. No, that's fine. I'm happy with that. What do you think?
34.
I was going to go lower than that.
Okay, but what do you want to go on lower?
25.
Okay, let's do
25.
25 goals.
25.
We'll 25 goals. Most of them outside the box. Nathan and James, okay. Nearest the pin. They've gone for 25. Okay, so it's basically higher or lower.
Go 15. We can go for it.
You can tell us your working outs if you want.
Okay. We're going to go 24.
Oh,
24 goals you've gone for. 25 goals. 24 goals here from Leeds United. The answer is 23 goals.
Oh,
yes.
Oh. So my
Leeds,
man.
Do you know what?
That means Leeds United, you have control of the board and the chance to get a five-goal.
Top of the league. Of the same
as
the
what
Nick
says, not how you start, it's how you finish.
It's kicking off on Glory Hunters here. So that means Leeds, you have control of the board and you get the chance to get a five-goal head start.
Okay.
As we play... It's Play Your Footballer's Cards Right. Here we go. All you have to do is predict higher or lower depending upon the category I select from this set of top trumps. If you lose control of the board, the opposition can steal the goals. It's a new round for Glory Hunters. Are you excited, gentlemen?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Okay, I have to work it out as we go along as well. But here is your base card. Here's your base card. It's it's Luis Suarez. And we're going to start with caps.
Yes.
Number of caps. Luis Suarez. The next card is Antoine Griezmann. Do you think he had higher or lower the number of caps than Luis Suarez? Higher or lower?
Less. Lower.
Yeah, he has lower. Yeah. It is lower. Congratulations. Oh. Okay, we're going to go Antoine Griezmann. Goals. Did he score more, higher or lower goals than Neymar? Has he scored higher, more or less goals than Neymar? Ooh. Antoine Griezmann has scored 18 goals.
What was this for?
International.
International?
International, yeah. Yes.
Oh, I think Neymar's got more than that.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with that.
Go higher.
He's gone higher. You are right to go higher. It is 52 goals. So the next one is trophies.
Okay.
Trophies. We've got Neymar. Has Leo Messi got more or less trophies than Neymar? Higher or lower on the trophies?
I'm going to go higher for Messi.
You're going higher on the trophies. You're correct to go higher. It's 29 Okay. 29 trophies, and we go back to caps for Cristiano Ronaldo. Has he got higher or lower caps than 122 Lionel Messi? Higher or lower?
Okay.
It's five goals. It's for five goals. Okay. Will they take it?
I'll go for it.
Leo Messi's got 122 caps.
Cristiano
Ronaldo has...
more caps. No. Messi has more caps than Ronaldo.
So you're going lower... it's higher. You steal, Man United. Steal the five goals. There we are. Bad luck. What a shame.
Top of the league.
Top of the league. They get the five goals. The cards can be so cruel.
Come on, clarify that.
We didn't even have to work and Leeds messed it up.
Cristiano Ronaldo has 147 caps, which is higher than Leo Messi's 122, which means Manchester United, you get a five-goal head start. Now, still to come, we'll discover who the biggest team is here today, and Ian Holloway shares more of his favourite quotes from the world of football.
We didn't underestimate them. They were just a lot better than we thought. Oh, it's just unreal.
You're listening to Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where Nathan Caton and James Brown are representing Leeds United, while Natalie Sawyer and Andrew Ryan are on the Man United team sheet. Now, however, it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
Now, Andrew and Natalie, you've won the right to go first. Andrew, you have 30 seconds to tell us why Man United is bigger than Leeds United.
It would be very easy for me to turn around and talk about trophies, size of stadium, fan base all around the world, but I think the how you can judge how big a club is against another club is to look at the transfers between those clubs in the previous years and what those players have gone on to do. So, 21 years ago today, Man United bought Eric Cantona. Today is the anniversary of him coming. He came to Man United from Leeds for 1.2 million. He won four leagues, two FA Cups, right? We also bought Rio Ferdinand. He won six leagues and one Champions League all the way come from Leeds. We also got Alan Smith, who won one league title. So every time we've bought a Leeds player, we've given them trophies and they've gone on to absolute wonderful legacies within the game. Leeds United, who have they bought from us? Lee Sharp, a poor man's Ben Thornley. Right, where is he now, right? Danny Pugh was bought from Man United by Leeds. Where is he now? He's assistant manager at Port Vale. They haven't gone on to win any trophies. Cameron Borthwick Jackson, where is he now? He's a left back for you now. Where is he now? He's at Tranmere cleaning boots. Right? Leeds is not a big club. You don't even have your own airport. You share it with Bradford. You're not even in the same division of us. You can't even afford to buy our reserve players. When we buy players off you, we make them heroes. When you buy players off us, you end their careers.
Oh, what a lot of them is a brilliant answer. Andrew, it was fantastic. I mean, you had some pluses and some minuses. Obviously, some great jokes in there. Really, really lovely jokes. Now, I liked it until you got onto transfers, Andrew, which if you'd done your research and you'd looked at Lee Sharp, as soon as you started having a go at Lee Sharp, you didn't realise that Lee Sharp is Torquay United, my team, is their most expensive outgoing transfer of all time. So you lose goals for that, obviously.
Do you know why I didn't look at it past Leeds? Because when he left Leeds, he was a broken man.
Yeah, he comes from Torquay and he went to Man United for 185,000 quid at the age of 16.
Yeah.
After playing for Torquay United on the left wing.
Yeah.
We developed him, and you got him from us, and you won the league because of Torquay United.
No, we didn't.
It's a shame for you.
So you get 5 points back.
So you lose two goals for that, and then you slagged off. Then you slagged off Tranmere Rovers, who I really like lower league football.
Sort of way.
Yeah, but you slagged Tranmere Rovers off, so that's two goals off there as well. But then you did do a good joke, so I'll give you one goal back for that. So I'm going to give you seven goals for that, Andrew. Very, very good.
Thank you.
James Brown, could you please tell us why?
I thought you just did my round for me.
James Brown.
Okay, first of all...
could you please tell us why Leeds United are bigger than Manchester United?
Just to answer your point, sir, you're an Irishman. You never heard of John Giles.
I do know John Giles, yeah.
Yeah, came from Manchester United to Leeds United. Never heard of Gordon Strachan.
I do know Gordon Strachan.
Yeah,
never heard... I'm only talking in the Premier League, by the way. That was only Premier League players. I wasn't talking about the old First Division.
Another goal off because football
did exist
before the Premier League. That's down to six.
Okay, first
on,
up,
James.
Leeds haven't been in the Premier League for 15 to 20 years, okay? And we're still talking about them on the same level as Manchester United, in the same bracket, in the same discussion, OK? Leeds is a party city. The name features two E's in LSD. Manchester United... Manchester United boasts it as United, but it's not. Real fans hate the Tories fans. They hate the owners, they hate the board. the biggest noise recording ever between Leeds United and Manchester United took place on the 26th of September 1999, registered 11.5 on the AGC noise pollution scale at Ellen Road, not Old Trafford. Leeds' song, March On Together, was written by a man who wrote songs for Elvis and Tom Jones. Leeds' merchandising was also created by a man who worked with Elvis. The last Englishman to win the top division in football, in English football, was Howard Wilkinson. Man United promotes itself as a tourist destination. Leeds is a football club. Leeds have never described ourselves as Disneyland for adults, as Woodward did to Klopp a few years ago. And most importantly, Leeds have appeared in Rising Damp, Porridge, and Benny Hill.
Very, very good. Enjoyed it. A few, obviously, once again, a few pluses and minuses there. James,
I'm sorry, I haven't finished yet. Leeds are twinned with Torquay.
Not true.
A lovely part of the footballing world.
It isn't true, unfortunately. But I always like any argument that involves the AGC noise pollution scale. Yeah. I always like that. I feel like you've done your research completely. If it's got that in there, so that you get some goals for that. You're on this programme and you're very famously a Leeds United fan, and you said you haven't been in the Premier League for 15 to 20 years. That's a 5-year difference, James.
Well,
you should
smack,
know that.
It's smack bang in the middle.
You should know that exactly. A goal off for that. Rising Damp, goal. Porridge, goal. Then you bought in Benny Hill, 2 goals off. It's a bit of a shame.
It's a great sketch.
The other thing is...
Google it afterwards. Brilliant. It's a vicar in a Leeds scarf.
Really, you surprised me. A vicar in a Benny Hill sketch. Unfortunately as well, I don't like Elvis either. So, which is a bit of a shame. So I'm going to give you, as well, 7 goals there. Well done, James Brown. Now, Ian Holloway is regarded as the football whisperer. A man whose soothing words of wisdom and logic can calm and ease the unruliest of football fans. So who better to share some of his favourite quotes from the world of sport? All you have to do is tell us who said it originally. Originally. Losing side goes first, which is currently Leeds United. Here we go. Here's the first quote from Ian Holloway.
We didn't underestimate them. They were just a lot better than we thought.
Nathan, James, who do you think said that first? Was it A, Jose Mourinho, B, Bobby Robson, C, Sam Allardyce?
Ooh, okay, it's not Jose. His ego wouldn't let him do that. Sounds like every Brentford manager in the cup.
James, any ideas?
I think that sounds like Sam Allardyce.
Yeah, he's got good bands in it. It's got Allardyce.
Nathan, Allardyce. The answer is Bobby Robson. Oh. It's bad news. We cross over now for Ian's second quote.
Bayern will have the added advantage of playing in their own stadium. That's like a home game for them.
Who said this? Was it A, Danny Murphy, B, Gary Neville, or C, Paul Elliott? Danny Murphy, Gary Neville, Paul Elliott. Early thoughts?
It's quite easy to just slip up like that.
Danny Murphy, Gary Neville, or Paul Elliott?
We're going to go with TalkSport's Danny Murphy.
Going with TalkSport's Danny Murphy. It's Paul Elliott.
Yeah. Oh.
It's
Chelsea, innit? Chelsea
innit? Could have stolen that if you had told me.
If
it had told everybody, Nathan. There we go. Here we go. Quote 3 from Sir Ian Holloway.
I never comment on referees, and I'm not going to break the habit of a lifetime for that prat.
Sir Alex Ferguson, Brendan Rodgers, or Ron Atkinson?
Not Brendan Rodgers. Because he's too nice. He wouldn't say.
Okay.
He would say prat.
Okay.
Sir Alex would say. Well, he would be angry, but I don't think he'd say prat.
I don't think he would speak like that.
Yeah, and I don't know what Van. Well, I know what he would say, but that's all a different subject. So I would go Ron Atkinson by default.
Big Ron.
You're going to go for Big Ron?
Yeah, okay.
The answer is Big Ron. Oh, yes, man. As you say, one of the quotes we can actually use. Okay. Fourth quote. Here we go from Ian Holloway.
They're the second best team in the world, and there's no higher praise than that.
Second best team in the world, there's no higher praise than that. Was it Graham Souness, Michael Owen, or Kevin Keegan? Souness.
Could be any one of them.
Keegan.
Could be any one of them.
You're right.
Could be any of those. It's a toss of a coin, I think.
I think, yeah, but for some reason, I feel like there's a few red herrings that keep getting thrown in. Like Paul Elliott, we just dismissed it. Graham Souness, Michael Owen, they're pundits. Kevin Keegan, I just feel like it could be him because he's just, we don't hear from him much anymore. That's why he's in there.
That's okay,
what do you think, Andrew?
It's obviously around the World Cup, I think, or something to do with international football. In my opinion, I would go Graham soonest, but if Natalie wants to go.
You're the captain, Natalie.
Captain, you're a captain.
Oh, I don't so want to go against my team member, well, do I?
No, do you know what? I'll go with the captain. I'll go.
You're going to go, you're going to answer Kevin Keegan, yeah. And the answer is Kevin Keegan.
Oh, my God. We are. We're very thank God,
team
thank
captain,
God
you see. Super experienced in many ways, like a Graham Souness.
Oh, thank you. So kind. That,
lovely. Do you know what? It's great to have someone steering the ship.
So the score at the end of this mighty, mighty contest this week of Leeds versus Manchester United is Leeds 8, Manchester United 12. There we are. Now, next up, something not for the faint-hearted, as we slaughter another sacred cow in the round known as Sporting Heretics. You have been warned. You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Remember to subscribe because you wouldn't want to miss out on this magic, would you?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker. Today's high-octane fixture is Leeds versus Man United, where the score is currently Man United 12, Leeds 8. And on the Man United team sheet are Natalie Sawyer and comedian Andrew Ryan, while comedian Nathan Caton and writer James Brown are representing Leeds United. At this point, I want each of you to abandon your principles and go all out for glory in the round that we call
Sporting Heretics.
In this round, I'm going to invite each of our panel to deliver a piece of pure sporting blasphemy, the kind of thing you wouldn't express in polite company. However, we're in a safe space and you have the freedom to express your thoughts, however disagreeable they may be. In fact, the more horrified, shocked and disgusted I am, the more you will score. Okay, we're going to go to the losing team first, which is currently Leeds United. Nathan Caton, World Cups and Euros should be scrapped.
Indeed they should. I think international football is a massive waste of time. We have international breaks, which it's like watching a really good TV show, the Premier League, and then like a boring advert comes along and lasts for 10 days to 2 weeks. I don't care. Let's get on with the Premier League. The whole club v country row. No one cares about country. Everyone cares about the club. That's where the money is. And we have these international breaks for qualifiers to watch, what, Slovenia against Kazakhstan. Mate, come on, man. I'd rather just watch Emmerdale or something like that, man. And then we have the World Cups. And think about it. If we didn't have World Cups or Euros, FIFA would be redundant. Thank you. Hashtag corruption. We just don't need it. Stick to the clubs, to domestics, okay? I don't want a player who plays for Brentford to come back from international break injured because they've been playing, you know, against, I don't know, Azerbaijan or Narni or something like that. Scrap international football, okay, to stick to club football. That's where the money is.
Nathan, it was very, very good. What I liked particularly was you imagining that Brentford had an international player.
Mate, come on. Okay, listen, let me school you on this, right?
How many international players have you had?
Stuart got, Dallas.
You mean got?
Got. How many have you got?
Stuart
at the
Dallas was an international.
He still is.
Still is. Lovely.
Okay, so we've got Kamma Hillamäkoja.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Henrik Dalsgaard.
Yeah, who's Pontus he playing
for? Denmark.
Denmark.
Oh, lovely. Yeah,
Janssen. Yes.
Pontus Janssen.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got England under 21 and 20s and 19s as well.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
I now love. I don't think under 19s and under 20s counts.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Chesney.
The one and only.
Who else have
Chesney. It was a Chesney Hawks joke for the kids out there. Chesney Hawks, Arshinan.
We've got a lot of international players, as Nathan testified.
I apologise, absolutely. Nathan.
Thank you.
And what else did I like about your argument? I like the image of you watching Emmerdale. I didn't know you were such a big Emmerdale fan.
It's very tranquil, the countryside. Yeah,
it
I like
is.
It. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. It's just, you spoke to my heart then. So I absolutely love World Cups and Euros. As a lower league fan, it's when we get to watch the bigger players, the more famous players, and be able to claim them as our own, which is exciting for me. So the fact that you're saying to take it away does disgust me, and I'm going to give you 8 goals, Nathan Caton.
Yes.
We go over to Andrew Ryan. All football matches should be played behind closed doors.
Yeah, I was very lucky to have a season ticket at Man United for 5 years, and I used to love going. I missed 4 home games in 5 seasons, but the biggest negative was there was other people in the stadium. Because it took so long to get in, to get out. And not only that, listening to the abuse and the complete lack of tactical knowledge that people around me had. I think football should be played behind closed doors.
You're sitting on the bench.
Huh? I think they should be played behind closed doors and stadiums should be got rid of. And there should be just a list of, 20 parks, right? And all the games are on at the same time. Not only that, there should be no cameras filming the actual footage of the game. There should be a fax sent out and the results posted at 9 p.m. every night on BBC website with the names of the goal scorers, the times the goals went in, and that was it. There's no coverage of... It's the North Korea of football is what I want in this country. I want nothing to look... I want that anticipation of waiting for a result to come true back in the 60s and 70s rather than watching a game on TV, hearing everyone have an opinion. I was like, bring it back to the nice, simple days where nobody's there. You're not allowed in to watch it. It's a private thing and you get a fax at 9 o'clock with the answers.
Great answer, Andrew.
Are you saying bring back teletext?
Teletext, 9 o'clock.
You get the result.
Brentford versus Scunthorpe, 2-0 Scunthorpe, brilliant. Who scored for Brentford? Nathan Caton scored 2 goals. You're like, fabulous, I can get on with my day.
Then you'd find that the page would skip and you'd be like, no!
all the way back round.
Yeah. 1 of 13, 2 of 13, 3 of 13.
And buy a holiday on the way round. So they're very, very good.
And pick up a pen pal as well.
Yeah. Andrew, I unfortunately liked a lot of your arguments. When you described playing with not many people there, no real stadiums, not really having any coverage at all in the national media. Unfortunately, what you were describing was what it's like supporting Torquay United. which is what I absolutely love. So I'm going to give you only 3 goals, I'm afraid, because I just agreed with all your points, which is not the point of the round. Natalie Sawyer, fans who leave early have got the right idea.
Absolutely. Why do they have to stay until the final whistle? Now, you don't stay at the cinema to watch the final credit roll. If you're having a good, apart from you, Nathan, obviously, put your hand up there. If you're in a restaurant, you don't stay until it closes just to show that you're loyal to that restaurant. But for some reason, football fans are mocked if they want to leave early. But they've got the right idea. They're getting out early enough so they're not stuck in the queues, as you've just mentioned, Andrew, and leaving Old Trafford, for example. They're beating the rush as well so they can get on public transport or leave the car parks early enough. The very fact that they're leaving as well, if you're seeing them leave, you think, oh, wow, they were getting close to the final whistle. It adds to the sense of anticipation, doesn't it? And what do they miss? Goals? Well, not really, because actually, statistically, most goals are scored in around the 45th minute or the first half stoppage time, not really at the end of a game. So not really missing much, are they? So I think, hurrah for people that leave early. They've got the right idea.
Oh, Natalie, sorry. I'm absolutely furious. People who leave early are my absolute worst.
Oh.
I think they are the second worst people in the whole of sport. After the people who shout get in the hole at the golf. They are the worst people in sport. People who leave early from football matches, I'm going to miss the traffic. You're missing the game. I don't understand it. I'm absolutely furious. You made some very good points. I didn't know that most goals were scored in the 45th minute.
Thank you.
Very, very nice bit of research there. I'm going to give you 9 goals, Natalie Sawyer, because I absolutely hated your point. James Brown, Leeds United. Fitness and youth spoil sport.
Well, this is very close to my heart, and I would imagine yours. Sport is obsessed with young people and new people and fit people, the latest thing. We spend all our time, the sports media particularly, spends all its time admiring the newest, the youngest sports superstars, and quite simply, it's elitist. It's unfair, it's totally lacking in diversity, it's prejudiced against oldies, fatties like myself, the infirm, the dead, people who lack key sporting skills. Now obviously this may be seen as a late application to play for Leeds, but I also think sport is just, because we're always looking to find these super fit, young, dynamic, brilliantly inventive sports people, it becomes too predictable. It takes random possibility out of a game. Imagine what a game would be like if you just had 100 players in each squad of all walks of life, all physical states, all mental states, yeah, all ages. The results would be brilliant. You'd have no idea what is going on at all. Imagine if Manchester United team, you know, started next Sunday with four Sunday leaguers, two veterans of the Korean War, 2 8-year-olds, and someone in a coffin, you know, versus just a team of children. Oh no, sorry, in a different division to Bolton. that's it. It's predictable.
The trouble is, James, I love your answer, and I agree, absolutely agree with everything you said. I think it would be absolutely brilliant if, like, in the 79th minute this week, you have to bring on an 8-year-old.
Or a dolphin.
Or a dolphin?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure how that's going
to
work.
Why restrict it just to the human kingdom?
Okay, but maybe not amphibious creatures. Because I'm not quite sure how that, unless they're going to go to
in a tank
or
on wheels.
Lovely idea. So I agreed with that. I mean, who doesn't want to see the 20-stone pole vault? We'd all enjoy that in the Olympics. Just every 4 years, one.
But you see, the Olympics is inclusive because you need to be different physically for all the different disciplines.
Think it's just football that needs
a pole vaulter is different to what you just said.
What about a club legend has to come on, like from the 50s or 60s?
Anything.
Has to come. The club's all-time
top
scorer. From
the 20s or 30s would be even better.
The club's all-time top scorer has to come on in the 80th minute.
But the fans,
no matter how old they are.
Charlie, the fans do this. We're always celebrating fans who've been watching since they were 12 and now they're 100 years old. The fans represent all ages, incomes, background, physicalities. So you get more of an atmosphere, yeah, in the stadium rather than on the pitch.
Unfortunately, I 100% agree with you, James.
Is that good or bad?
Which is not good for the round. As we've had the discussion, we've gone off and talked about this even more, and we've both enjoyed the conversation, which isn't the point of the round.
Sporting heresy, not what Charlie disagrees with.
I know, but I think I can only give you one goal, so I do apologise for that. So at the end of that round, the scores are Leeds 17, Man United 24. Still to come, we travel back in time to a momentous moment in each club's history. That's next on Glory Hunters on TalkSport. You're listening to Glory Hunters here on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where today's game sees Leeds United taking on Manchester United. Don't worry, it's an early kickoff, so we don't expect much trouble. Okay, time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark year in both clubs' history. Now, Nathan and James, we're going to go back to 1992 and this.
And the party will go on and on here tonight. Leeds finishing on a winning note thanks to Rodney Wallace and completing their superb season unbeaten here at Elland Road in the First Division. Anyone who's ever played the game at any level will know what winning is all about. But when you win at this level, it's intoxicating.
And that was Leeds being crowned First Division champions there. And so long ago that was the best audio that we could find. I think it was on a wax cylinder. Anyway, Leeds were crowned First Division champions under Howard Wilkinson before the launch of the Premier League the following season. But what else, Nathan and James, do you remember of that year? OK, question one. Sweden hosted the European Championships that year, which saw Denmark win the tournament. We all remember that. England, however, finished bottom of their group after only managing to score one goal. The question is, who scored the goal? Was it the boy Lineker, Gary Lineker, Ian Wright, or David Platt? Lineker, Wright, or Platt, who scored one goal in England's group in the 92 European Championships.
Do you remember the tournament?
I remember the tournament, yeah, because it's famous because Denmark were on the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
They got called back.
I will go with whatever you say then.
I think Platty.
Okay. David Platt.
You're answering David Platt. Let's find out. Let's hear the clip.
Webb. Not really allowed the extra touch initially by Limpar, but he retrieved the ball. And Batty had got forward. It's a neat header for Lineker. That's David Platt. He's miskicked it, but it's gone in. A great start for England. They have scored.
David Batty getting a little shout out there as well.
Well, I didn't want to say anything.
David Batty.
Is that an extra point?
David Platty there. David Platt scoring the goal. Question two. 1992 also saw Eric Cantona sign for Leeds United, a different breed of footballer than the one manager Howard Wilkinson had previously been used to.
He reads poetry. He reads philosophy. He paints. He likes fishing. Yeah. Maybe that's different. I hope he's different out there. That's where I hope he's different. What he's like off it, so long as he behaves himself, I don't care.
However, Eric's not the only footballer to have a love of literature. Which of the following are actual books written by footballers? A. Charlie Baker and the Secret of the Deep Dark Woods. B. Frankie's Magic Torch. C. Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. The Lion Sleeps No More.
Is that third one?
The third one is one
type. One title. That's all one title. Yeah.
Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. The Lion Sleeps No More.
Okay, so the
Frankie's
first...
Magic Torch, Charlie Baker and the Secret of the Deep Dark Woods.
I think that first one is real.
What, Charlie's?
Yes.
For real?
Well, he said,
written by footballers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's real. It's a pretty common name. No disrespect, Charlie. I know one other Charlie Baker, you know.
I'm James Brown. not even the most famous James Brown.
I'm all right with that. It's hard to compete with somebody who's famous before I was born, Charlie, to be fair. You know?
The first two Charlie Baker what?
Charlie Baker and the Secret of the Deep Dark Woods. Yeah. Frankie's Magic Torch. Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. The Lion Sleeps No More.
But it's a song. Someone could reference a song put it as a title, but it's... No,
I think it's the first one.
Okay. I'll back you up.
Congratulations. The answer is Human Race, Get Off Your Knees. The Lion Sleeps No More. That was written by former Coventry City and Hereford United goalkeeper David Icke.
Yeah.
There we are. So, question three. Which of these did not make their debut in 1992? A. The text message. B. Gary Neville. C. The PlayStation.
I'm going to say PlayStation.
Do you know about that stuff?
Vaguely. Come on, 992, did it? Not in the UK, anyway.
Text message. Gary Neville, the PlayStation.
Okay, Gary Neville, class 92, right? The text message. Text messages were around for a long time.
Are they called the class 92 because that's the year they broke into the first team? Because I remember when...
They should talk about it more, shouldn't they?
When Terry Venables put Gary Neville into the Euro 96 squad to kind of take Rob Jones's place, Rob Jones was injured, it was like a big call. It was like Gary Neville was really young then, and it was like he was playing for Man United, but I don't think he'd been playing for them for 4 years.
No, but you still make a debut, but it's not be like a regular feature.
Okay, we have to push you for an answer. Okay. Text message, Gary Neville, the PlayStation. Nathan Caton, you're the skipper.
Okay, I think PlayStation.
I think it was Neville, but go on. I don't think Neville made his debut that year.
PlayStation.
Cool. You've gone for the PlayStation? The answer is the PlayStation.
Brilliant!
1994, and in that round you scored two goals, which takes you to 19. Natalie and Andrew, we're going back to 2016. 2016. And this.
Are you serious, mate?
Again, this is like last time I was on the show. Natalie's round was like 2019 and mine was like 1842.
Takes it so seriously. Okay, here we go. Back to 2016 and this.
Valencia coming into the area, looking for Martial. Comes back towards Jesse Lingard and he scores and the 10 men are in front. Jesse Lingard, who hasn't scored since the fifth round at Shrewsbury, has put Manchester United in front in the FA Cup final with 10 minutes to go. In extra time.
Jesse Lingard's goal sealing victory for Man United in their 2-1 victory against Crystal Palace in the 2016 FA Cup final. But what else can you recall of that landmark year? Question one.
Last week.
The FA Cup is never short on spectacle, but can you tell me which of the following acts performed on the pitch ahead of the final? Was it A, the Grimethorpe Colliery Band? The Grimethorpe Colliery Band there with Abide With Me, which for extra two goals. Can anyone tell me which bit of the English Riviera Abide With Me?
Torquay.
Not Torquay.
It was in the, it's in Shakespeare country, isn't it? Warwickshire.
Nope. It's in Brixham. There we are. Okay. And so, or was it B, the Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Choir? Something inside. Or was it C, the bluegrass combo Iron Horse? I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, 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 I'm a rocket man. So, which of those acts performed on the pitch ahead of the final? The Grimethorpe Colliery Band, the Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Choir, or the bluegrass combo Iron Horse?
I think straight away the last one is a no-no, for especially for an FA Cup final.
It doesn't seem like a very...
Not if Watford were playing. Rocket Man, Elton John.
Oh, I understand that, but it was Crystal Palace.
It was Crystal Palace, yeah.
So I don't think they would be playing...
No,
I think the link there wouldn't be right.
Bit of bluegrass?
I think Abide With Me is the iconic song.
Yeah. The Abide With Me is a traditional... Because you've Prince, the Royal Family turn up. This army turn up, don't they? They do flags and they take away all the stuff. There's fireworks.
Yeah.
Abide By Me and the National Anthem.
Yeah.
I think are the songs of the final.
We're going to go with the first one then. Grimethorpe.
The Grimethorpe Colliery Band, Abide With Me. The answer is the Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Choir with Something Inside So Strong.
Oh, well, that
the Labby Siffrey hit. Who doesn't love a bit of Labby Siffrey on a Sunday morning? You're listening to Love Songs on TalkSport.
I would have preferred 1992.
I don't think it would get...
Do you know what I mean?
Did you go that game?
The 1992 game?
No, the one that...
No, I didn't go 2016, no. I prefer to watch my football behind closed doors.
Established. Okay, question two. 2016 was also the year of this... Icelandic players and fans celebrating there with the Viking Thunderclap following their victory against England in the European Championships, a celebration which didn't actually originate in Iceland. The question is, who first performed it? Was it A, the Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Choir, B, the fans of Motherwell FC, or C, the barbarian hordes during the sacking of Rome in the 5th century AD?
Wow.
I don't think the Lewisham NHS are that successful in terms of creating stuff. And like, because if anything, they've created chance.
Yeah.
They've played at Wembley. I'm not being funny, but they should be working. They work for the NHS. They should be working.
But you doubted them in the last round.
I did. Yeah, I'm pretty confident. They're nowhere near here, this one. So we'll run them out. Motherwell is something I could actually buy into, is the Motherwell thing. Because you know what? Like, it's... Somebody in Iceland could have seen a little video of a second First Division Scotland game with Motherwell in it. Next thing you know, they're doing it at their home games because that's what football teams copy songs
Icelandic
and tunes.
Could have though played
could
as
have
well.
Could have played for Motherwell. Exactly. And there you go. But then
Someone's mum could have been to Iceland.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mum's go to Iceland.
Yeah.
But then the Barbarian Hordes.
What year is the Barbarian Hordes? How far back is that?
I'm still laughing at my own joke about Iceland. The sacking of Rome in the 5th century AD. Give me an answer. The Lewisham and Greenwich NHS Choir, the fans of Motherwell FC, the Barbarian Hordes during the sacking of Rome in the 5th century AD.
I think we want to give credit to the fans of Motherwell.
You're going to go with the fans of Motherwell, and the answer is the fans of Motherwell.
Yes.
During a 2014 Europa League qualifying match against Motherwell, fans of Icelandic team Starnan saw the home side perform it and brought the chant back home.
Question three. While players and fans celebrated at the final whistle with the Viking thunderclap, the Icelandic commentator kept his cool and remained as professional as ever. Gudmundur Benediktsson there with some level-headed comments at full-time, but what did he actually say?
Oh, gosh.
Did he say A, Theresa May, Ed Sheeran, Danny Dyer, your boys took one hell of a beating. B, you can go out of Europe, England, you can go wherever you want, this fairy tale continues. C, quick everyone, stand back, I've dropped my phone, can anyone see my phone? Someone ring it, otherwise I'll never be able to find it. Which of those do you think that Gudmundur Benediktsson was saying?
Clear and obvious to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think it,
it's
yeah.
a clear and obvious.
I just don't feel that Danny Dyer is that popular in Iceland for him to be mentioned.
Okay.
As much as he's a national treasure here.
I do know there was something in the news about the Icelandic commentator mentioning this is not the first time England has left Europe or something like that. So I think it was a reference to them leaving the European Union as well as the European Championship. So, in my opinion, I think the answer is B.
I agree, we're going to go B.
The Irish backstop says B.
Yeah.
And you are saying, OK, we're going to go with B. And the answer is B. You can go out of Europe, England. You can go wherever you want. This fairy tale continues. OK, that was 2016, the year of Man United's victory against Crystal Palace in the FA Cup final. The last time the two met in the final was 1990, when Alex Ferguson's future at the club was in doubt. Man United beat Palace and his job was saved. Louis van Gaal's future at the club was in doubt. Man United beat Palace and he was sacked. Not going to make that mistake again. At the end of that round, the scores are Leeds United 19, Manchester United 26. Still to come, I ask the teams to match my predictions of the day's games, and you, the public, get to probe our panel in a question of sport time. You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Here on Glory Hunters, we like to probe in areas other shows shy away from, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face the scrutiny of the general public, and I've absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Could we have our first question, please? I'd like to ask the panel, what is the biggest life lesson sport has taught you? What is the biggest life lesson sport has taught you, Nathan Caton?
The biggest lesson I've learned is that 60 seconds is a very long time, right? Prime example, May 2013, Brentford v Doncaster, last game of the season. Put into context, Doncaster are second and we're 1 point behind. So they're playing for a draw. It's 0-0 in the 90-second minute, whatever.
Yeah.
We get awarded a penalty. We're thinking, cool, we score this, we're promoted. Right, first time in my life I've seen Brentford in the Championship. Missed the penalty, right? Taken by the wrong player, first of all.
Yeah.
The penalty hits the crossbar, bounces to a Doncaster player, hoofs it up, goes to another Doncaster player. Bear in mind, all our players are in our own in Doncaster half, you know, like, confused at what's going on. They've got a 2-1 attack, and they score. So I've gone from, oh my gosh, we're going to get promoted, to it's over. And apart from the end of Cool Runnings, that's the only time I've cried in sport.
Very good. Yeah. You mentioned Cool Runnings, and what is taught you that what you're...
That's 60 seconds.
In life, you are 1 minute away from disaster at all times.
60 seconds is a long time, man.
I'm giving you 8 goals, Nathan Caton.
Thank you.
Andrew Ryan, what is the biggest life lesson sport has taught you?
Biggest life lesson sport has taught me that being mediocre is very successful. Because there are so many footballers out there in the Championship, the division that Leeds are in, League One as well, that are full-time footballers that earn loads of money, drive nice cars, have nice houses, and they walk past me in the street every day and I don't know who they are, but they're incredibly successful. And we don't see that. We only judge the top 6 or 7 teams, the Ronaldos, the Messis and all that. But there are so many people out there that are successful that are just not in the news every single day. For example, in golf, there's a golfer by the name of Robert Rock. He's on the European Tour. Has anyone here heard of him? The guy's a multimillionaire. Why? He makes his cuts. He goes about his business. He's not on Instagram or Twitter. He's not on the TV all the time. Has a great life. And I think the biggest life lesson that has taught me is that you don't have to be getting headlines. in sport to actually love what you do. You can be comfortable in a different division, having a great life, and that's the best life lesson sport has taught me. It's not about the fame, it's about actually just enjoying what you do.
This is a great life lesson. It's a great life lesson. I liked it very much. And I'm going to give you 10 goals, Andrew Ryan.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, very good. James Brown, okay. What has sport taught you about life?
Okay, the most obvious one that I've taken, particularly from being a Leeds fan, is it's never over until it's over. For the last 2 years, I have assumed at some point we were going to go up. Now, 2 years ago, I didn't allow myself to even consider that until the beginning of April. And then I thought there was a slight chance that we might be going up. Last year, it came down to the last four games of the season. And I figured we're going up. And the reality is, as you know, as Andrews keeps stressing, we haven't gone up. And in fact, I've come to believe that if we ever go up, if we ever actually end the season promoted to the Premier League, we'll probably get sent back down like the last snake on Snakes and Ladders for like the players having the wrong towels on holiday or something like that. It's not over until it's over.
Over till it's over. It's a great life lesson. It was a really good answer, James. I really liked it. It's not over till it's over. I liked it very much, and I thought you made some very good salient points. I'm going to give you 7 goals. Natalie Sawyer.
I think it's all about how to lose gracefully and with dignity, and hopefully today we'll see that from one of us. You know, I'm a Brentford fan, of course. We have lost many times, Nathan, as we know. Yeah. We probably have one of the worst records when it comes to the playoffs, for example. But I'm no longer one of those people that stomps around, gets frustrated. My family don't have to tread on eggshells anymore because they know now I've wised up to it. I know more often than not that Brentford will disappoint, apart from the last few seasons in the Championship. We're not doing too badly. But I've learnt that I can't let it affect me, and I have to now lose with dignity and with grace.
There we are. So you don't mind losing with dignity? So you don't mind when I give you 3 goals for that answer? There we are. Very good. Can we have our next question, please?
Yeah, I'd like to ask the panel, which team would they least like to support and why?
Which team would you least like to support and why, Andrew Ryan?
Okay, for the week that's in it, because the Rugby World Cup starts this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. The team I would least like to support is the Italian rugby team. Ooh. And the reason for this is the Italian rugby team, we all know from the Six Nations, which is classed as a tier one competition, but Italy really are a tier two country when it comes to the game. They've played 98 Six Nations matches. They've lost 85. Now, to me, that sounds pretty bad. They've never in their history ever beaten England. But what they are is they are above the worst. So they're better than Spain, Namibia and Russia, but they're below the best. It's a bit like being in the Championship. You're above League One and League Two, but you're so below the best in the Premiership, right? And I think being an Italian rugby fan, when you look at the World Cup rankings this time around, Georgia, the USA are ahead of them. They're going to go to the World Cup. They're going to win their 2 games and then they're going to lose their other 2 games and that's it to come home. You know exactly what's going to happen with them. And the gap is too big. So I think if you're an Italian rugby fan and you sit down to watch the Six Nations, going, who are we playing today? We're playing Italy. How do you want it to go on? I hope we don't lose by 30 points. To have that negative impact. So I'd rather be the worst of the worst, and you can have the crack with that. The best of the best. But in that middle, there's just no joy. And it's sort of the gaps are too big either end, and I can't see it being changed. So the Italian rugby team for me is the worst team to follow.
Worst team to follow. Well, I enjoyed your answer very much. And then you did the accent, Andrew. And it fell apart there, unfortunately.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Was that inappropriate?
No, not inappropriate. I just didn't think it was very good. So, plus also, who do I think I could play for and get away with it as nearly as one of the players? And I always look at the Italian team. I reckon I could put a shirt on and nearly get away with being a prop forward or something for them. So I've got a little soft spot for them. So I'm only going to give you 3 goals. I'm going to give you 3 goals because of the accent. I'm going to take one off.
No problem.
Nathan Caton, which team would you least like to support and why?
Okay, I'm going to go with the England cricket team. All right, come from a West Indian background, so I was brought up to support the West Indies cricket team, and I can't support England for my own health, because if I support England, I wouldn't be here today. So yeah, for my own safety, I'm going to please my grandma and say the England cricket team, because I like breathing.
It's quite a good reason not to support someone, because you like breathing. But I'm afraid after the summer they've just given me,
Come on!
I absolutely love the England cricket team. You don't want to support Ben Stokes.
No,
I don't want to support Jofra Archer.
He's ours.
Oh yeah, okay. I'll give you some goals for Jofra Archer. I'll give you five goals. I'll give you five goals, okay, for your answer. James Brown.
Okay, this may come as a surprise, but the team that I could not bring myself, I couldn't really see myself supporting, are Manchester City. Mm. Not as you would have expected Manchester United, although that's obvious. The reason being is, and this was a very real possibility. This summer, Leeds were heavily linked with been acquired by the owners of PSG, mm-hmm, and you know, some of the richest people in the world, and I genuinely didn't want that to happen. I think that if you support Manchester City, where you just have all of this money given to you, the endless money, as much money as you want, yeah, as you can have, you just eradicates everything that is good about football. Winning is only great if you also have long periods when you don't win. That is the very nature of football, that if you just have as much as you need to be great all the time and get all the best players, like when they buy Messi, mm-hmm, next year, that always happens when I say Messi, see? And he just texts me if I mention him, Messi, yeah, the Messi. And when they buy Messi next year, it will be one step further from that great period they had when they were renowned for their fans supporting them, sticking with them en masse, and they were considered the true club of Manchester when they're at the third level of English football. So I genuinely think that having too much money, endless money, robs you of the right to call yourself a football club.
Excellent, excellent answer, James. And I loved every single... I was going to give you 10 goals out of it, and then I'm going to take one goal off for each time your phone went off, which was four times. So it's six goals.
You're going to regret just, that when just, I hold my phone up and you're going to see the name Lionel, brackets four.
It's the Richie. Richie following it.
The unprofessional tax. There we are. So we'll come to you last, Natalie. Which team would you least like to support and why?
Slightly controversial, and Andrew, do forgive me, because right now it's Manchester United.
Oh, and you're representing Manchester United today. Okay.
So it's only because I didn't know that I was going to be backing
great.
Manchester
great
United.
This is great
to know, isn't it?
But it's only based on right now, and if you're an older United fan, because obviously Manchester United were the team that used to win everything. They were the perennial title winners. They dominated English football. People feared going to Manchester United or playing them. But that fear is gone, Andrew. The theatre of dreams is more of a nightmare now. And imagine supporting a team that for so long has enjoyed success upon success, and now your biggest rivals, whether it be your City rivals or that lot down the M62, are having more success than you are right now. I don't really know how you get over that despair. And I don't know how you, get over having been the team that used to win everything to now being overtaken by everyone else.
I'm sorry. How many trophies have we won in the last 4 years?
Yeah, but you haven't won the title. But you haven't won the title. Your bread and butter is the league, and you haven't won that for 6 years.
No, our bread and butter. We're not eating sandwiches. Like, this is we've won the Europa Cup, the FA Cup.
Okay, we all know what you've won. The team is imploding. Yeah, it's an absolute disaster. Natalie,
as I say, United.
Yeah, United. But you stuck to the question. The question was, and you were very honest about it. Some would say foolishly honest about it.
I completely agree. And in hindsight, I should have thought of a different team.
So I'm going to give you a very down the middle five goals. There we are. Which means at the end of that round, the scores are Manchester United 48, Leeds United 45. They've closed the gap. Next up, there's still everything to play for as we go into the round we call Injury Time here on Glory Hunters on Talk Sport. When was the last time you played football, Andrew?
The last time I played a game of football? Oh, about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, do you play 11
no,
aside?
No, I play Gaelic football, Irish football.
All right.
I don't play any of this weird sport.
And what's the difference between Gaelic football?
Gaelic football and Irish football. Gaelic football is played by men who are unpaid and amateurish. And last week we had the Irish Gaelic football final replay between Kerry and Dublin, which Dublin won, and in front of 80,000 people. And it was absolutely insanely wonderful, great bit of sport that I watched. the two finals. It's the best summertime in Ireland because you've got hurling and football.
Hurling football is the sort of mashup of rugby and football, isn't it?
Yeah, 15 against 15. Basically, rugby goalpost, but with a net. You kick the ball over the bar, you get a point. You score a goal, you get 3 points. 15 against 15. It's 35 minutes a half. You're allowed elbow, you're allowed tackle, not physical like rugby players, but you're allowed physical contact. It's so skillful, and these are the fittest men. Yeah. And you compare them to the when a footballer touches you. I know when a footballer touches you in a game of soccer or whatever, is you're looking for an advantage, i.e. free kick. But in Gaelic, it can actually go against you if you go down, because the referee just goes, play on, man. Because you're allowed shoulder, you're allowed kind of come in at them. So you can't fake, if an injury is a real injury in Gaelic football, so I highly recommend you to Google it.
No,
I must say it has got a lot of coverage in the UK the last few years on Sky. They've had Sky Gaelic games. They've shown a lot of the championship. I've watched a lot of it on TV. So it is getting to a new audience. And hopefully over the next few years it will grow.
It's just incredible, though, that it is an amateur sport.
Amateur sport,
as you say,
yeah.
They're filling Croke Park, 80,000.
Yeah. And they're like one of the players for Kerry. He's an engineer and he had to get annual leave to play in the final.
Did he really?
To get annual leave to play in the final.
Did not get paid anything for the match.
They get travel allowance and they get sponsorship money, but they're not allowed to receive a salary. So they'll get like their hotels paid for. They'll get an allowance of travel for training.
But does all the money go that you pay to watch the game?
It goes back into the community. So where the Gaelic Athletic Association reinvested in the local communities and parishes.
Okay,
so that's why every small village in Ireland, you will always be a Gaelic football ground
with
proper facilities.
That's a brilliant
idea. Have you been to a game?
I have been to a few Gaelic games.
Who have you been to see?
Well, I did go to a final actually at Croke Park, and I forget it was Dublin who won. Dublin,
yeah, they won five
win.
In a row.
Yes,
at the moment, yeah.
But I have also been up at St Chiernach's Park in Clonus, where a Monaghan, I think they play
Cavan.
No,
Tyrone.
I want to say it could have been Tyrone. Yeah. Yes, it's great fun actually. Although I do spend most of the time going, what is going on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a punch, Natalie. That's just a punch. That's just
and then don't
there.
Get me started on hurling. That's even
oh hurling. Do you
brutal.
Know hurling is banned in the north of England? So when I lived in Manchester, I joined an Irish club, and there I was like, oh, where's the hurling? They're like, oh, you can't play it. I goes, why not? Because if you don't have the skill set by the age of 12, 13, it's too dangerous.
That's the one
crazy.
With the stick.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
is crazy.
And it's basically chuck a ball in. And you can do whatever you want with
and
the stick.
You have to run along bouncing it on the stick.
Yeah, every three steps you have to either bounce it on the stick, you hand pass it, or pass it with a stick. It is so, I'm not going to say violent because it's not. It's one of the fastest ball games on grass. It is so skillful. It is mesmerizing. So high scoring. So, but also it is, there are absolute warriors.
James, you ever been to any of these?
Yeah, I'm massive on hurling and the All-Irish footballs. I'm playing them most weekends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just back from County Cork, got you all the bruises and everything.
Oh, yeah, that's what that is. I wonder what that was.
But, you know, yeah, I didn't want to butt in there. He was explaining. if you play it, you don't really talk about it.
That's the first rule of Gaelic.
Yeah, those that watch talk about it. Those that play, just, you know. Do you want to see my scars?
Five-a-side's your game, isn't it? Because you literally wrote a book above head height about five-a-side football.
Yeah, that did well.
It was a number one
at
bestseller.
At least 10,000 other people who bought that are playing five-a-side. It was, I still play a lot every week.
Who's your team?
Who's my team?
Yeah, that you play for.
Oh, no, it's just friends and you pick.
Okay.
But in actual fact, the book was about anything below 10, really, because if you're in the power leagues and the goals and whatever, obviously then it is five and it's fixed. But for the thousands and thousands of people that are playing just amongst themselves, you know, it could be six aside, seven aside. So my Friday game is about an 8 or a 9. Tuesday is a 7 or 8. I love it.
In the book, you mentioned some of the famous faces you've played against. Who have you played against?
The best one was Woody Harrelson, because he came back from holiday and my mate said, you never guess who's been playing last show away. And I went, who? And he goes, Woody Harrelson. I went, oh, right, okay. So I went back and he was there. He was there and we were on the same team. It was about 8 aside in this big indoor double basketball size court in behind Euston Station. And I had the game of my life. I scored 9 goals out of the first 10 shots. And these weren't tap-ins. After the first one went in, Woody came over and gave me a big hug. And after the second one went in, he came and gave me another big hug. After the third one went in, I thought I was a shoo-in for the next series of True Detective. All of this time, I was desperately trying to set him. And for an American actor, he was a pretty good player. Yeah. I don't know if he'd played as a kid or whatever, but he was a good player. Because, I mean, that's the thing. When I was growing up in Leeds, there were no Hollywood superstars walking around, but you play games and, you know, you often see people and you know, other, you know, well-known people on the pitches in London, and there was quite. I didn't know whether to put that stuff in because it's not very every man.
No.
But when I was asking on Twitter for people to send me their own anecdotes about playing football, it was just a recurring theme of real excitement where an ex-player showed up in some sort of charity-orientated match or a works-related match or a famous person just weirdly showing up. It's a popular thing.
Nathan?
I thought you were going to say David Batty was the most famous person. He turned up.
No, Batty,
he don't play football. I think as soon as he stopped, that was it.
That's it. He's done.
A lot of pros. You love talking about the game. You've got a podcast coming out, haven't you, Nathan? Yeah. A new football podcast?
Yeah, it's called So You Think You Know Football, where I just get my comedy mates and we just have a chat about football, have a few quizzes here and there and see how much they really know.
Sounds a terrible idea. A quiz and a chat about football. That will never go, mate. That will never run. It's a terrible idea. And Andrew, you've got a big show coming up in Cork, am I right?
Yeah, I'm in Cork on the 19th of October at the Everyman Palace. I'm doing my show, which is called Is Everything All Right at Home? So 19th of October, Saturday in Cork. Please do come along. Go on to my Instagram, at Andrew Ryan Comedy.
Fantastic. Now we're in the dying moments of the game of Glory Hunters, and we move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Remember, you're up against the clock, so speed is of the essence. The losing side goes first, which is currently Leeds United on 45 goals. I need you to tell me which of the following are genuine names of football team mascots by answering true or false. Do you understand the question?
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Genuine names of football team mascots by answering true or false. Are we ready? Here we go. Captain Blade.
Okay, false.
It's true. Sheffield United. Beau Brummy.
False.
It's true. Birmingham Football Club. Ronnie Omelets.
False.
It's false. Big Lupus.
False.
Chester Football Club. True.
It's a disease.
Lucifer Wednesday.
No, false.
It is false. Elvis J. Eel.
Oh, gosh. True.
It's true. Southend United. Nuts the Squirrel.
False.
It's true. Kilmarnock. Agnes the Stripper.
True.
It's false. Pilgrim Pete.
Who?
True.
Pilgrim Pete is true. Plymouth Argyle. Posh Emily.
False.
It is false. Rami and Yui.
Ooh. True.
It's true. Derby County. Revolting Allen.
False.
It is false. Terry Bites.
Ooh, false.
It's true. Fulham. Samson and Delilah.
Oh, gosh. True.
It's true. Sunderland. The Carpet Bagger.
False.
It is false. Oh, and that is it. And we got us up to how many points? 9 goals, which takes you to 54. Next up is Manchester United, Natalie and Andrew. You need 6 to draw, 7 to win. And I want you to tell me whether these post-playing careers are true or false. Do you understand the question?
Yes. We do.
Very good. Your time starts now. Stuart Ripley, solicitor.
True.
True. Ken Moncal, pancake chef.
Oh, yeah, I say true.
True.
Yeah.
Mickey Quinn, Pilates instructor.
False.
It is false. David Platt, interior designer.
False.
It is false. David Hillier, firefighter.
True.
True.
It's true. Philippe Albert, runs a fruit and veg business.
False.
It's true. Dean Windass, live coach.
True.
It's false. Marco Gabbiadini, runs a guest house in York.
True.
It's true. Arjen Desieux became a police detective in Holland.
True.
It is true. Nicky Butt went to work in ceramics.
False.
It is false. Nigel Spink runs a courier firm.
True.
It's true. Darren Huckabee is a landscape artist.
False.
It's false. Gavin Peacock became a pastor.
True.
True. George Weah became president of Liberia.
True.
True. Dennis Irwin, social media influencer.
False.
It's false. And that is the end of that round. And you scored 13 points, which means Manchester United have 61 and Leeds United lose on 54.
We took the foot off the gas there because you know what?
To be fair, a lot of those answers were like...
Oh, here we go again.
Really, really well known.
Oh, here we go.
Nicky Butt, obviously, is in ceramics. He worked at Man United. George Weah.
There we are. Would you like to give us a bland and empty post-match reaction, James?
Well, we've been the second best team in this tournament, and there's no higher praise than that.
And so, to our winners, we say... And for the losers...
No! No, 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 no!
No! No, 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 no!
We are. My thanks to Natalie, Nathan, Andrew and James. Join us again at 9:30 next Sunday on Talk Sport. And be sure to download the Glory Hunters podcast, available from your favourite podcast provider. It regularly features extra material purely for podcast listeners. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye. There it was. Bad luck, Leeds United. Nathan, are you disappointed?
Yeah, but as a Brentford fan, I'm kind of used to it.
All right. James, still angry, just silent, seething?
I mean, did they pick their own questions before the show?
James, you seem to have a bit of a problem with the true or false questions today. What was your problem with
those? Which round was that?
The true or false, the last round with the players and their jobs.
Do you mean when you asked them about really, really famous people who are often in the media talking about their new jobs and you asked us about really obscure mascots?
Well, hold on a second. You were asked a question about somebody was called, is a stripper a mascot? And you said yes.
Yeah, that's because Portsmouth are actually known as the strippers.
Are they?
You didn't know that, did you? Because it doesn't involve Irish men beating the shit out of each other with sticks. And I'm just talking about golf.
This doesn't sound true.
I don't think James listened to my life lesson of losing the dignity.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank goodness you're here, Natalie, to look after
there will
us
be blood
all.
On these black curtains.
Well, I hope you join us again next week on the Glory Hunters podcast. Rate and review and subscribe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.